Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm excited to preach to you today. We're in the middle of our series on James called The Essentials, and this has just been a great series for strengthening believers and then helping. James is giving us a lot of tests through the book, tests that help us find out whether we have real faith, find out what if we're really a strong believer, find out if we really believe God, and all of this designed in The Essentials to help us as believers to be strong in our faith. And today, I love what we're going to be talking about because it is like a weapon in the hand of every single believer. If you want to be a strong believer, we're going to be talking about keys to powerful and effective prayer. God's about to put some dynamite in the hands of some believers because you're going to get some principles that are going to elevate you to the next level. They're going to send the rain of heaven over your life. How many of you across the campuses say, I want to be a powerful believer. I want to be an effective believer. Oh, come on, somebody. God came. He came this morning to stir your faith, to say, I'm going to use you. I'm going to work in your life. Oh, God wants every one of us to be powerful and effective, and that comes through powerful and effective prayer. So James chapter 5 says this, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on your people today. Move through this place, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those who are looking at the landscape and it's dry. I pray, God, that they would believe there's a God in heaven, that if they ask, you will send rain, that you will open the floodgates of heaven if we dare to believe you for big things, that there is not a person who is disqualified, not a person who is not able to use this wonderful gift. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to the person today who is looking around at the landscape of your life and everything seems dry. The ground is cracked. The sky is blue, but is cloudless. And you need rain. Areas of your life where you're looking at it and you're saying, God desperately needs to move. I want to speak to the person who says, unless God moves, nothing will grow. Because if you're in that place, we serve a God who sends rain. The first key to powerful and effective prayer is powerful prayers are prayed by ordinary people. And I think this is so encouraging because life has a way of making all of us feel a bit ordinary, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever worn a white shirt and drank coffee. Especially if you just bought it, right? It's like the more intentional you are to not spill on that shirt, the more likely you are to spill on that shirt. I was thinking of just things that have happened in my life as I was thinking about ordinary, and There was a time I remember setting the coffee on top of my car in the perfect spot, only to have it fall and do something that defied physics and come inside the car and dump all over me. It's true. It was hot, too. I remember when we were first married, you're young. I was working at Lambert's at the time, we weren't a lot of finances going around, and we both saved up for rings, and Beth bought me a beautiful white gold ring, and 6 months later, we were at the lake, and she said, "You should take your ring off," and I said, "I'm the man of the house. I'll decide if I take my ring off." I didn't say it like that, but that's essentially what I did. So I went out on the lake, and the first time I got in the water, my ring slipped off, and it's at the bottom of Table Rock Lake. So if you're a scuba diver, you can find it. Praise God for great wives. I have a ring that I have not lost since for 20 years. Praise the Lord for good, gracious wives. But we're ordinary, right? Everybody's lost their keys. Everybody's had that moment where you go, man, I am so human right now. And that's why this is so encouraging, because when we read this verse in verse 16 that says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, we can think, well, who is that and what type of person is that? And so James gives us this illustration of Elijah. And Elijah was a great prophet in the Bible. Elijah did amazing things, and really we're focusing in on what James wants us to focus in on is the miracle where Elijah prays that it won't rain. This is a nation that God has called him to shake up. And he prays that it won't rain because there's a wicked king, and the wicked king and queen Ahab and Jezebel, they've turned the people to serve a god called Baal. It was a false god. It's the god of rain and thunder and fertility. And so what does Elijah pray for? He prays it won't rain. And when we're introduced to Elijah, this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishba in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." James adds a detail that we don't find in Kings, that he prayed that it wouldn't rain. So 3.5 years go by, and the land is just decimated. And then look what happens in chapter 18. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Then look what happens. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain." Elijah's just called fire from heaven. If you're familiar with the story, you really should read 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. It's a great story. It's fascinating. There's a lot of things that happen. And then, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down to the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So his servant went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, "Go again," 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, "Behold," the servant comes back and says, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain, and Ahab rode to Jezreel. Elijah prays that it will rain, and black clouds fill the sky, and rain comes down so much so he's like, "You better get moving because so much rain is coming." Elijah was an amazing person. In fact, I want to give you a list of the miracles Elijah did. Here's the miracles God did through Elijah. He caused a 3.5-year drought. We talked about that. He was fed by ravens. He multiplied flour and oil for a widow. He raised the widow's son from the dead. He called fire from heaven several times. I think one time would be awesome. Several times is even better. He parted the Jordan River, was taken to heaven, never died, and caused the drought to end. That's an amazing list. So when we read that, we can think, wow, I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified to pray powerful and effective prayers. I don't feel like I'm anything like Elijah, right? I've never called fire from heaven. I've never been fed by ravens. I've never seen this or that. Maybe you've seen God do something in your life, but maybe you're like, when I think of Elijah, I don't feel like I'm in that zone. Yet James says this, and James, he says, Elijah was a human as we are. You know what that word is? Homeopathic. It means of the same nature, of the same stuff. When you read the list of miracles, you need to know this also about Elijah. Elijah, we read in scripture, he got overwhelmed. Elijah walked through a depression. Elijah wasn't sure how things were going to work out at times. Elijah was human. Elijah got hungry. Elijah got tired. So tired that he says, God, just kill me. I'm too tired. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of who's prayed that prayer. Human. Ordinary. Yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed that it would. You know what that speaks to you and I? God can use you. God can use you. Yeah, let's make some noise. Let's praise God for that. God can use you. Up in the stadium, God can use you. At the North Campus, God can use you. At the West Campus, God can use you. At Joplin, God can use you. Online. But here's the thing. If we don't remember that, and James is bringing this truth alive to us, what happens is we put people on a pedestal, and that excuses our powerlessness. Because when we put, powerful and effective prayers are for, you know, people like Elijah, and we forget that Elijah was just a human, then we excuse ourselves from powerful prayers. And what happens is you're in life group, and your life group leader is like, hey, could you pray for us? And you're like, oh man. Paging people like Elijah, right? You're in the grocery store and you see somebody and you're like, hey, they're telling you about what they need. Would you pray for me to be healed? And you're like, paging people like Elijah, aisle 12. We need somebody like Elijah with a prayer life like Elijah, right? Have you ever paged for somebody like Elijah? Or am I the only one, right? Do you know why that's important for you to think about? Because God wants to use you to pray powerful prayers. God wants you to remember Elijah was just a person. He was just an ordinary person, yet he was a person who prayed and saw God do powerful things. I wonder what place in your life is dry that you're looking for somebody spiritual to come along, somebody who knows how to pray, and God is saying, I'm looking at you. Because your ordinariness is actually what will highlight how extraordinary I am when you call on heaven and say, God, would you move in this place? God, would you come in this place? God has put things in your heart and you feel so ordinary and so disqualified, unqualified to be able to pray for that. And God is saying, no, I want to put my hand on you as you pray, and you're going to do powerful things. You're going to see me work in a powerful way because you dared to believe God in your ordinariness to see God do the extraordinary in your life. Come on, somebody give God some praise because he uses ordinary people. I'm thankful he uses ordinary people. I'm thankful he doesn't look just for the qualified. I'm thankful we serve a God who says, you know what? You're depressed, yet you can still call on heaven and bring heaven down. I'm thankful we serve a God that says, oh, you're tired, yet you can still call on heaven and bring heaven down. I'm thankful we serve a God who looks at you in your weakness and says, that's the place where I want to show my strength. The enemy wants to lie to you and say, look at all the things that make you a person who can't be powerful. Do not believe the lie. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to change your marriage. God wants to use you to change your school. God wants to use you to change your workplace. God wants to use you to bring rain in that dry place. And I'm gonna preach it till you get it, because God said, you need to wake up. It's not about you being ordinary, it's about him. It's about his greatness, it's about his power. Somebody give God some praise in this place. I'm not here to rile you up, I'm here to wake you up. Prayer works. And it has nothing to do with what you bring to the table. Ugh. Number two. Powerful prayers have a specific posture. Any Christian can pray a powerful prayer. But not all prayers are powerful. Any Christian can pray a powerful prayer, but not all prayers are powerful. Look at what James says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. Prasuke prasukumai. He prayed in his praying. He prayed in his place. It's a double prayer word. And when you see that in the Greek, commentators tell us that that is to put emphasis, to put intensity. It's like an exclamation point. It's saying that he prayed with a intensity. He prayed with an intentionality. He prayed with a humility. He prayed and prayed till he saw God move. He prayed fervently. Powerful prayers aren't casual prayers. Powerful prayers aren't just, well, we'll just kind of see what happens. Powerful prayers get a hold of God. If you want to see God move in your life and you want heaven to move on your behalf, you have to say, God, I'm going to pray with a gut-wrenching prayer. I'm going to get desperate before God. He prayed fervently. He prayed in his praying. He let it well up in his heart. There's a few things we see in Kings on what that looks like. If you're like, okay, well, what? How do I do that? And what does that look like in my life? The first thing is he prayed intentionally. So when he says to Ahab, it's gonna rain, and then he went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He got in a place to get with God. Part of our posture as a believer is to move. You want to see God work in your life? Move. So often you watch as a pastor's believers sit and they're waiting for God to do something, and God is waiting on them to get going. That's why it's important to move. We talked about the step of faith last week. And when it comes to the prayer for healing, you go to up forward to the people that are praying. And that's an act of faith in itself. You're getting a posture that says, God, I believe you. God, I believe you will help me. God, I believe as I take a step of faith, you're going to move on my behalf. It's powerful when you get a place of prayer. When you say, I'm not just going to pray in my car. I pray in my car so much. I love praying in my car. And I'm talking about when you're driving on the highway and you're bebopping to Hallelujah, I'm Free, and you're like, yeah. That's great. But that's not a place of prayer. There's something powerful about getting in a place that says, God, I'm here right now. The only reason I'm here is to meet with you. Intentional. That's why the altar is so important. To say, God, I'm going to move towards you. That step of faith, he prayed intentionally. Do you have a place where you pray? Do you have a place where you go to meet with God? If you don't, I really encourage you to get one. To say, God, I'm gonna set this place aside to get your heart on this and to pray heaven down. He prayed intentionally. He prayed humbly. Look at the verse. In Kings, it says, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed himself down to the earth and he put his face between his knees. Let me remind you that he just called fire down from heaven. Yet he doesn't have this posture of like, yeah, I got this. Scientists tell us that our posture in some ways affects our thinking and our emotions. There's actually science that when your hands are raised, you're more joyful. So science is, as usual, confirming, wow, they're finally figuring out what the Bible teaches us, right? A place of victory, a place of joy, your hands are raised. It causes a physical response in your body. They also tell us that when you get low, and you get down and you get small, you feel more humble. It's hard to be proud when you're low. It's hard to feel confident when you're low. There's something about getting low and saying, God, would you come? God, would you move? There's no way, God, this is going to happen without you. There's no way. Would you send rain? That posture of humility moves heaven. It's not just like, oh, that's a nice thing to do. Yeah, every once in a while I should get on my knees. It's not placid. I know we all have kind of this bedtime picture, you know? And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, like, there's a gut-wrenchingness to this. And some of you have never experienced that. You've never done it. And you would maybe say, it's not like, oh, I'm not proud. I just don't do it. But you're missing the humility that comes that brings heaven down. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. By getting low, you bring heaven down. By getting low, God lifts you up. And Elijah understands that. He wants God to bring rain. He does not assume on God. He says, God, if you're going to bring rain, I'm going to have to call on you for it. Because you're great. This is not me just assuming you're gonna do whatever you're gonna do. God, I need you to do it. And I call on you to do it. There's something about that humility that moves the hand of heaven. He prayed humbly, he prayed consistently. Look at this, watch this, this is fascinating. He bowed himself to the earth and he put his face between his knees and he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. So this is seven times Elijah getting low, seven times Elijah going down, seven times Elijah calling on heaven. You know what? If he prays for it four times, it doesn't happen. He prays for it five times, doesn't happen. Prays for it six times, doesn't happen. It's on the seventh time. Oftentimes we quit too soon, don't we? Oftentimes we allow just like a, I don't know, apathy to set in rather than saying, no, God, I believe if I call on you, you're going to answer. I haven't seen it yet, but I know you're gonna come through. I hope as I'm saying this, somebody who you need to see God move in your life, but you've kind of given up. I hope God's stirring your faith right now to say, go again. Pray again. Call on heaven again. Ring the bell. Say, Lord, come through. Go again. God's stirring your faith because he cares about the situation that you're walking in. He wants to do what you're praying for him to do, but he's saying, I'm waiting for somebody to call on me till it happens. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said it like this. Listen to this. Prayer pulls the rope below and the great bell rings above. In the ears of God, some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give but an occasional pluck on the rope. But he who wins with heaven is the man or woman who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all their might. How many of you say, God, I'm gonna pull until you answer, because God, I know if I pray, you're gonna move. God is looking for that person, the person who will pull the rope. Third and finally, powerful prayers are propelled by a word from God. Powerful prayers are propelled by a word from God. I think it would be a tragedy if you heard all of this and you're like, man, I feel like sometimes I lose steam, or, you know, I don't have the motivation I need, and so I just need to gut it out. You know, I just need, Brandon, you're saying this, and I need to gut it out. There is a part of gut-wrenching prayer, but you need to understand that the power to pray often and most often comes when we have a word from God. Now, there's two ways you get a word from God. First of all, you get it by reading the word of God. How many of you thankful for the word of God? How many of you thankful that God wants to speak to you through his word, that God has something in his word for you? When you pray, you're gonna be much more motivated to pray, and you're gonna pray much more faith-filled prayers if you pray from the word of God. Powerful prayer is propelled by the word of God. It's when you get in his word that he gives you a word that you can pray. We actually see this in the story of Elijah. In that verse in chapter 17, it says Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. But look at this scripture in Deuteronomy. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside to serve other gods. This is Moses writing to Israel and saying, hey, if you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut the heavens so there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land the Lord is giving you. So Moses is writing this, and Elijah's looking around at the nation of Israel, and he's saying, this is not going well. He's got the wicked king and queen. They're saying, hey, you know, everybody should worship Baal. And he's watching the nation just go to pot. He's watching this nation, and they're being torn apart by demonic power. And he's saying, something has to move. And I imagine that he thinks of this scripture, and he said, God, you said if the nation turns from you, our nation needs a wake-up call. You said if our nation turns from you, you'll shut the heavens. And it's still raining outside. Lord, I have a word from your word of what you want to do. God, shut the heavens. Wake up our nation. Shut the heavens, Lord. Wake up our nation. He prays because he gets a word from the word. That's why reading your Bible is so important. That's why getting in the word every single morning is so critical. Because if you need God to move in your life, maybe there's an area where you're saying, God, would you send a wake-up call? God will give you a promise, or God will give you a prayer to pray that will be energized by the Holy Spirit because it came out of the word of God. And you'll be like, man, I got it. Lord, have you ever had the Holy Spirit land on something in Scripture? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit, like, you're like, I've read that 1,000 times, yet when I read it this morning, I'm like, I've never seen that before. That's God speaking to your heart and saying, this is where I'm directing your attention. This is what I want you to pray. This is my will. Pray that it will happen. We pray, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. How do we know the will of God? It's when we get a word from God, and oftentimes that comes through his word, right? Get in the word of God. Maybe you've stopped reading the word. Get in the word of God. Get download the Bible app as I'm talking. It's okay, I know I'm still preaching. Download the Bible app. Say, I'm gonna start a Bible reading plan, because you need a word from God so you can pray in the word of God. Get a promise for your marriage. Get a promise for your workplace. Get a promise for your finances. Get a promise for your son or daughter. Get in the word of God, because that's how you pray down the word of God, right? God's got stuff in his word that he wants to show you if you'll just read his word. We get a word from the word. We also get a word when God speaks to our heart. We see that in chapter 18. Look at what happens with Elijah. It says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. God speaks to him and says, hey, it's time for it to rain. He says, go show yourself to Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain. Sometimes you hear from heaven and you see and you hear things that are just with the eyes of faith. Faith hears the inaudible. That's why when you get a word from God, when he tells Ahab this, the sky is blue, right? They haven't seen rain for 3.5 years. Yet he says, I hear a sound. I hear the sound of rushing rain. Yes. That's what makes being a believer exciting, is when God speaks something to your heart and you're like, I don't see any of this, but I just know. I don't see anything changing. I just know. I don't know how this is possible. I just know. That's what gives you faith to go when it's dry. That's what gets you faith to talk. That's why people think believers that have faith are crazy. Because you go, man, God's gonna move in this place, in your workplace. And everybody looks around and like, ain't nobody here a Christian but you. Oh no, but I've seen it. I hear the sound of rushing wind. That's how you tell a family member, oh, God's working in your life. And they're like, I don't see it. You're like, but I hear the sound of rushing wind. Oh, I know some of you, you're looking at a dry place, but I know God is speaking to you right now. I know he's speaking to you right now. And the word from the Lord for you is happening right now. You start... Oh, you're afraid to let hope rise in your heart. Some of you are there right now. You're afraid. You actually maybe have, not physically, but spiritually, put a little stuff in your ears. Because you're afraid of the sound. You're like, what if I believe God and it doesn't happen? I want you to close your eyes real quick. And if that's you, God loves you, but you gotta take that stuff out of your ears. I don't know if it's disappointment. I don't know if it's pain. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And to say, God, I'm going to believe you. And I repent for God allowing things in my life and my heart that have clogged my hearing. Lord, I want to hear you. Help me to have faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's so critical because God wants to speak to you right now. Some people, God is speaking to you. He's putting things in your heart. And for that to work, you got to listen and say, I want to hear what you have to say, God, because I know if I hear it, I'll have the fuel I need to pray it into existence. Prayer isn't just us going, oh, I wish this would happen. Prayer is us hearing from God and saying, God, I know what you want to do. Sometimes you got to pray the faith in and then you pray the thing in, right? That's why we just did what we did, because we're praying the faith in and then we're going to pray what God says into existence. You know what? The will of God is that it rains. We know that, right? Elijah, God says, hey, it's going to rain. But God, Elijah still has to go up and get on the mountain. But he has the faith to do it because he heard the sound. I want to encourage some people in this place about a couple things. First of all, God's going to give you a word and it's going to give the fuel you need to pray it into existence. Secondly, some of you, you're praying, but you haven't seen a thunderstorm yet, right? Oh, but God sent a cloud. But because you're praying for a thunderstorm and God sent a cloud, you don't think God's working. But here's the thing, God is working. Maybe you're praying for your husband and you're like, you know what? He's like listening to worship music, which is kind of weird, but he's not a Christian. And I don't know if God's moving. It's just weird that he's doing that. No, that's a cloud. Some of you are praying for a family member. You're like, they started coming to church, but they haven't gotten saved. No, that's a cloud. God is working. Some of you are praying for your workplace. And you know what? Your coworker started reading the Bible just so they can argue with you about scripture. And you're like, God, that's not what I'm praying for. I'm praying for them to get saved. I'm praying for revival in my workplace. Oh no, that's a cloud. I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. And God is on the move in your life. And God's wanting to tell you right now, I'm working. So God says today, open your ears, open your eyes. Because you could hear something that motivates powerful and effective prayer. You could get a word from God, or you might see something that seems small and be like, oh snap, it's about to rain. Oh snap, it's about to rain. We started here in James, it said, the prayer, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So I just wanted to help everybody with this phrase, and then we're gonna pray. Who's a righteous person? Well, if you're a believer and you put your hope in Jesus, you're clothed with his righteousness, right? Now we'll say this, that you can get things in your heart that will hinder you from hearing God or experiencing his power, for being able to pray a powerful prayer. And that's when you let like bitterness in your heart, you let unbelief in your heart, you let unforgiveness in your heart, and you need to repent of those things. And God is good. He's gonna help you, but you gotta do that if you wanna be able to pray. If you know who you are, if that's you, if you're, man, I'm not walking in the life of Christ, I'm not honoring the Lord with the things in my heart. Maybe you have sin in your heart and you need to repent. And then for maybe you're in this room and you're an unbeliever and you're not a Christian, well then you can't pray the powerful and effective prayer because you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life. That's the only way you get righteousness, is saying, God, Jesus, you're on the throne, you're the King, you're Lord, you're in charge. God, you're good. You died the death I couldn't die, lived the life I couldn't live. I need your righteousness. But if you say that, then you get to pray that powerful and effective prayer. And God is moving today and he's speaking to people.